We'll be from Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 1 through verse 21. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we consider these words, that you would open our eyes to truths that will be beneficial for our faith, for our daily life, for our relationship with you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So often this parable is of the seeds is very it's so familiar. We hear it often. That's what I wanted to say. And I want to try to help us look a little deeper, and I've included the few extra verses. Often we just focus on the parable and the explanation, and we don't see how it's connected to the rest of Luke. And we have some extra things in here. One, the comparison to the light, and one, Jesus' family, and they're all related around this theme of hearing and doing God's word. And so that's the context that we want to look at this in the sense of this is about hearing and doing or living God's word. And so that's you just kind of have to hold on to that as we go through this whole thing. But what I think that we also often make a mistake is we think this passage is just about people getting saved. And that's not without reason, because there are other passages where Jesus talks about the harvest being ripe and not enough workers to go out. And that is clearly a passage about people coming to faith in Christ. But I think this passage is bigger than just about people coming to faith. This is about people maturing in their faith. And so I want to look at this as the Christian life from seed to harvest. All right? From seed to harvest. And so the first thing we want to think about is harvest, which is kind of at the end of the parable. But really, the seed contains the promise of harvest. Right? Think about that. The harvest is the promise of the seed. When you... any gardeners in here? No one in West Yellowstone should be a gardener, okay? It's the most disappointing thing about living here is that you can't grow anything. But if you... Have you ever, like... One of the things that's exciting to me about having a garden is, like, looking at these variety of little seeds, some of them, like corn, all shriveled up, and thinking, I'm going to put it into the ground. But that's not the end. It's going to grow, and there's going to be a harvest. I plant the seed in the ground because I want the harvest, right? That's what I expect. Now, every seed bears within it that potential. And what Jesus says in this story is the seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God has the potential in every person's life for mature faith, for a harvest. And so, what is the Word of God? Well, it says that at the beginning of this passage, Jesus was going around preaching everywhere the kingdom of God. So the good news that Jesus was presenting to the people was that the kingdom of God is here and now. It's available to you. And along with the idea that it was available to you, he was telling people how to live well in the kingdom of God. So through faith in Christ, we're promised that we can enter into the kingdom of God here and now. And by obedience to the instruction of Jesus, we can live well in that kingdom. We can mature and become successful. And it comes to the point of a harvest. And we'll talk about what the harvest is later as we go along through this. Now, every seed is only one plant. So the picture is this: a sower sowing grain. He's throwing grain seed. Now, if only one seed grows, there can be a stalk of wheat and a head with a few grains in it. That is not a harvest. Okay? A harvest is the accumulation of many stalks of grain coming to maturity at the right time and being harvested. And it talks about a harvest of 100-fold. And I was doing a little research. In that day and age, that farming culture, a good harvest was about 35-fold, okay? So Jesus is saying the Word of God can truly be abundant. Now farmers today, they eke out, how much, Dan? Would you guess? 120 bushel. I don't know what that is in relation to amount of seed. Huh? That would be over 100-fold. I figure that modern farming techniques have enhanced our ability to get an abundance from crops. But the point that Jesus is that the seed will grow to harvest, and there will be an abundant harvest. And that can't be just about individuals. That is about a lot of individuals coming to maturity in Christ as they hear and do the Word of God. So the three principles so far: a seed, the Word of God, takes root in a person that grows to maturity. When you have a bunch of people who grow to maturity in faith, you have a great harvest. Okay? Now, what is the harvest? The harvest would then be not just people coming to faith, but would be the blessing that comes when a whole community of people are living out a mature faith in the world around them. And that would include some people being drawn into God's kingdom. But it would also be a community where enemies know that they are loved, where the poor are cared for well, where the broken find wholeness because of the maturity of people becoming like Christ, putting on Christ. That's the picture of the harvest that comes from the Word of God maturing to fullness. Now, Jesus says there are some obstacles to the harvest, some obstacles that preventing the harvest from being what it should be. And there are three of them he talks about. The first one is the seed that falls on the rocky path. And he talks about this being where the birds come and take it away, and that's like the devil taking away the Word of God from people's lives. And really, it's a picture of a hardness of heart and the spiritual battle that's taking on. Anytime the Word of God is out there, there's a spiritual battle going on. And the devil does not want to see mature Christians. And when your heart is hard, like the path where the seed cannot even penetrate the soil, there is no response. There is no maturing. There is no growth because there is no life that comes out of that. That person is unable to come to faith because they're closed off their hearts to the things of God, and the enemy takes advantage of that. Now, that's not the end of the story, because the reality is that God can soften the hardest heart. But sometimes there are people who completely are closed off to the good news, the promises of God. And that's one of the things that Jesus says is an obstacle to the Word of God fulfilling its potential in people's lives. The next obstacle he talks about is the seed in the rocky soil. That's kind of like seed in West Yellowstone itself, like where the water just doesn't stick around. It just goes right away. And nothing can grow and the roots all shrivel up. And that's really the picture of a shallow faith. And it says when the storms and the trials of life come, that plant is unable to survive. And for the person of faith, you know, there are people, Jesus says they sprout up quick. They're excited about it, they're enthusiastic, but they don't get the nutrients in their life. Their roots are shallow. They don't grow. You know, when you get those little potted plants at the store, like the tomatoes and their little thing, and all the roots are all kind of twisted up in a little clump, if they don't get out of that container, they're going to die. Because they can't get water. They can't get nutrients. They need to spread out deep in the soil, right? And that's the picture here. Our faith needs to have roots that go deep and they're able to draw out and have strength through life. The draw in the nutrients, draw in the moisture, able to stand against the wind and the strong. And so many people don't allow enough of their life to be focused on their faith to draw in those nutrients, the things we need, the Word of God, a relationship with Jesus and through prayer, reflection, self-awareness, all those things that are essential to helping our faith grow and mature and become stronger. So a shallow faith. We can have a hardened heart. We can have a shallow faith. The next obstacle that Jesus presents is the seed that comes up, but it's surrounded by weeds, and it chokes out the plants, the healthy plants, the plants you wanted to grow to have harvest. And Jesus says this is like the pleasures and the busyness of life. And really, it's The busy life is a threat to a strong Christian faith. We can just be too busy. We can be invested in too many things. You know, no is a good word. You can't do everything and grow strong in your faith. You have to invest some time into your faith or it'll just get crowded out. And we all know how. I imagine that during this coronavirus restrictions and isolations and all, that for some people, faith has just been crowded out of their life. It's become, you know, they can't go to church, and they've just disconnected. And they've filled their life with other things. And they're good things. You know, it's good to have relationships. It's good to work hard. It's good to have hobbies and things like that. It's good. Recreation is good for you. Physical care for your body is good for you. All those things can be good, but we can also have other things, you know, bad things that we add into our life. Good things and bad things. Just too many things for faith to grow, for faith to be a focus in our life. So Jesus says, these are some of the articles, are obstacles to a healthy, mature faith. A hardened heart, shallow faith. You know, our faith can stand up to scrutiny. But most of us are afraid to put any effort into scrutinizing our faith, to really come into deeper understandings of things. And most of us in a North American culture are way too busy. If you have families, at school, at sports. I understand. I'm drawn into all those things. I have too many interests, too many things I like, too many kids. I'm busy all the time. And I understand with that busyness comes a cost to my faith. I love all my kids and I wouldn't give up any of them. But the reality is that they consume some of my time. Remember, Paul says it's better to be single so then you can be really focused on God. You know? But anyway, that's the point is you can be too busy. You know, and so, but we want to think then about what then is Jesus encouraging? And Jesus is encouraging hearing and doing. The way we ensure a plentiful harvest, a deep faith, a mature faith that comes to fullness is to hear and do the Word of God. And that, and in this passage, there are some things that are represented here. We need nutrients, right? A good crop needs water. It needs sunshine. It needs nutrients. It needs deep roots to endure the stresses of droughts and winds and heats and diseases and things that come along. So we need to be able to, in our faith, draw in those things into our life that are necessary and essential for maturing in faith. And again, there are things like getting to know the Word of God. Like, what's in the Bible? What does it really mean? How does it impact my life today? Memorization, so that it becomes a part of the way I think about the world and see things. Prayer, where I'm constantly bringing myself back into the presence of God, not just lifting up my concerns, but really being still and silent and willing to listen to Him in return. Community, we need a community of faith so that we aren't isolated and alone. You know, that one stalk of wheat's not going to feed many people. But a community growing together is going to be able to bless the world around it. Another thing that it says in here is patience. He says they bear fruit with patience. The reality is that maturing and coming to harvest is a process that takes patience. And I know that farmers are not patient. You know, when I was in Kansas, you know, wheat harvest was kind of exciting time. Everything was green for a while, and then it would start to turn brown, that golden, light brownish tan color. And and farmers would start getting antsy because, you know, there's dangers that come along with the spring. Hail, rain, drought, all these things. And so they want to get their harvest out as early as they can, but at the right time. And there was always farmers that got out there too early. They weren't patient enough, and they'd take their grain into the grain elevator, and they would be told, your grain is too moist. It's not dried. It's not come to that right time for harvest. And they'd have to go out and wait and wait. And so patience, spiritual growth, maturing is a process that takes time. You don't just instantly become mature. You might be drawn instantly into God's family, but you're not instantly the person you're supposed to be. There's a growing process that takes. The seed may be planted, but it has to come up. It has to grow. It has to take in all those nutrients. It has to take in the sun. It has the rain. All those things have to come along. And so again, we need to be patient with one another as we allow God to work in each other's life. You know, another thing is then deep roots. We really need deep roots. The advantage of deep roots is when bad things come along, is that we can withstand the hardships, the challenges. So many people abandon their faith because they haven't put anything into their faith. It's convenient. It's nice while everything's going good. It's fun to hang out at church, sing music, sing songs, be around the youth group, whatever, the senior group. It's good to. But when there's trials, when there's challenges, when things don't go my way, if I don't have deep roots, it's easy to abandon my faith. And so we need deep roots. And the deep roots are only gained by really exploring our doubts, expanding our knowledge, putting faith into practice. One of the things that hearing God's word and obeying it, that's part of how we develop a deeper faith. It becomes more real as we say, Jesus said to do this, I'm going to do this. Oh, look how God rewards that in my life. And my roots grit a little bit deeper. So we need deep roots. And then, again, we were talking a little bit about patience and things take time. There is a right time for the harvest. And God knows that right time. And often, the life we live for Christ, we don't see how it's benefiting anything. We wonder what's going on. And yet, when the time is right for the harvest, that's when God acts in unique ways, in the community around us, in our own lives, for the good of His kingdom. You can cut the crop too early. You can cut the crop too late. There's a fullness of time. And a lot of our Christian life is about trusting that God knows the timing. So if we want to have and ensure a plentiful harvest, we have to be sure all those ingredients are placed. And it starts and begins with the Word of God, the good news, the promise of His kingdom, the promise of, or the encouragement of how to live well in that kingdom, and trusting that God will fulfill the word that He has given for us. Now, there's two little paragraphs that are kind of attached onto this by Luke. One is about a candle. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under the bed. And the point here is that the Word of God has a purpose. Just like the candle has a purpose, the purpose of the candle is to bring light into the room. And so you don't hide it. And God's word has a purpose in your life. And you have to be willing to live that purpose out. And again, that's the hearing and doing, hearing and obeying. Putting into practice the things that God is teaching you in your life. You don't want to shove God's purposes, so to speak, under a basket. You want to put God's purposes out there. And there's a warning here in this passage. He says, take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. It's not enough just to hear the word. There are lots of people that can quote lots of Bible passages that have not allowed any of it take root in their life. There are people that show up at church every day, every Sunday. There are people that maybe teach Sunday school classes. There are people at institutions, you know, academic institutions, all over the world that study the Bible. They know the words, but they haven't had any life in their lives. They haven't taken root. They haven't taken hold. They haven't grown. They haven't matured. And Jesus says, use it or lose it. That's what he says here. Use it or lose it. So if you're not putting things into practice, there is a warning here that the harvest won't be there. That you won't experience what you think you're supposed to. And then there's this story about his mother and his brothers coming. They think he's crazy. And I think this takes place in a different location, but Luke puts it here together to make this point about hearing and doing God's will. Jesus says, if you're a person who hears what I says and do it, you're like family to me. Think about that. You're like family to me, more even than my blood relatives. And I don't know your family situations, but what I have found, and I'm thankful that I share my faith with most of my family, and it's great because it draws us and holds us together. But I have found that often when I am closer to strangers, in a sense, who share my faith than I am to family members who do not share it. That's what Jesus is saying here. The ones who really are part of my life, the ones who I'm most connected to, the ones who I love, are the ones who hear and obey. I'm going to butcher a quote, okay? J.K. Chesterton, he said something like, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. He says it's been wanting because it hasn't been tried. You know, the idea that when Christianity, the teachings of Jesus, are lived to their fullest, the world around us is blessed. And when we don't live that to its fullness, there are problems. There is an element of our faith where we have to really, truly believe that Jesus knows what he's talking about. And that if we invest our lives, if we put our time and our effort into the following the teachings that he's given us, that it will be the most rewarding life ever. Not that our lives will be perfect, not that we'll be prosperous, but that we'll be enriched, that our life will be blessed, that it will be abundant, and that the people around us will experience blessing because of us as well. Like salt flavoring the food, right? Just a little bit of good, faithful, Christ-like life in a community makes a difference. And that's what we're to pursue. So I have a quote that I want to read because I'm sure I'm going to miss words wrong. So here's what I want you to think about and take away. The good news, that's the word of God, is that the kingdom of God is here and available now and forever. What God, Jesus promises people is not just eternal life off in the distant future, but that right now you can enter into eternal life with God, and that will last forever. More good news that Jesus gives us, also the Word of God. This is the Word of God too, the good news. Jesus has shared with us and showed us how to live well in God's kingdom. And that living well is used in a variety of ways throughout Scripture. One of those images is putting on Christ. Another way we say is being formed in his image. And Jesus says this kind of life is facilitated by hearing his word, believing it is truly the way, and living out that word daily. This is the path to the blessed life and abundant harvest promised by Jesus in this parable. This is hearing and doing the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that that not only do you invite us into kingdom life, you share with us through Jesus' teaching, through the Gospels, through our New Testament writers, through the Christians who have been faithful around us throughout history and even in our lives now, that you share with us how to live well in your kingdom. And help us to have confidence and trust. Help us to find time to grow, to invest in our faith, to deepen our roots, to draw in the nutrients that you make available to us, that we might be ready for the harvest and that it might be abundant. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.